All right. So you are Bill Becker, the crop doctor.
That's right.
So could you maybe give me a rundown? Because I know, you know, I'm having grown up on a farm myself, I kind of am familiar with what the sort of, you know, like the idea of a crop scout and agronomist in the conventional sense. Sort of, could you maybe give me an idea of what you do?
Okay, I'm an independent crop consultant. I have a PhD in plant pathology, and I specialized in plant nutrition during my PhD research. So I'm looking more at the what's keeping plants healthy, and so I focused that on my consulting and in the research that I do.
So if I was a farmer and I came to you, like, what kind of services would you provide for, I'm guessing, mainly organic farmers?
Well, I am a problem solver, and we look at increasing both profits and the soil health and plant health. And they're all connected. As you do one, the others kind of fall into place.
Now, that whole idea of having the soil health and plant health being connected, now that's something that I could say maybe other forms of agriculture haven't always held to. Would that be a correct statement?
Yes. And you hear a lot about nutrient balancing, but when you get into it, they're looking at more of the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, the old standard three fertilizers. I look at all 16 essential nutrients and try to balance the whole kit and caboodle. Okay.
So you have a bit more of a wide, holistic look at the soil.
Right. And in my research, I'm doing systems research, it's called, where I try to look at the total picture and how everything is connected to everything else. So we do things like that. And also, Scott, I look at not only soil testing, but I look at tissue testing, and I try to correlate the two to see how the tissue sample is telling me what's the interaction between the farmer's management, his soils, the weather, and genetics, the crop, you know, the hybrid or the variety that he's chosen to plant.
Now, what caused you to... Because you were a researcher first, and then you became a consultant. Is that right?
No, I came right out of the university, my postdoc, into a pest management service. And during that, I saw farmers really needed some help with their fertility. And also, I ran smack into nematode problems the first year I was out working with farmers.
So I remember reading something on your website about that, how, you know, the way that you look at it, it also deals with, you know, the nutrient absorption and microbes, even when, you know, dealing with problems like nematodes. Was that something that sort of one of the driving factors was that you thought maybe the traditional way of looking at crops wasn't taking into account challenges in the right way, or?
Yes. The nematode damage is very subtle, and a lot of times in the past, Treflam was blamed for some of the root problems we were seeing, but we don't use Treflam hardly anymore. But the nematode situation kind of is in response to some out-of-balance nutrients in the soil. Kind of figured that out along the way here. And so... it's not so much the main nutrients, but it's the micronutrients that seem to be out of balance with the other nutrients. So it's been my lifelong quest to find a nematode control system, and we're getting real close to that.
Now, when you say nematode control system, I'm guessing you're not talking about one chemical. You're talking about being able to manage the nutrients in a way that discourages nematodes from... being right. In the field or feeding on crops?
Right. And it has to do with the biology of the soil. The nematodes, I should say the parasitic nematodes, it's a biological problem. And I kind of figured out it's going to take a biological answer or solution to fix the problem. And with that biology solution comes balancing the nutrients.
Now, for me, it looks like, you know, just talking to you now and reading some of the stuff on your website, it seems like this is a view that is quite different than, you know, a lot of people just say organic versus conventional and things like this. But this seems like almost a step, up or a step beyond organic where, you know, it seems like this view of the soil is something that's maybe not new, but new as applied to, you know, on a commercial scale.
Right. And it'll work for both organic and conventional farmers. If they take care of their soil and their soil resources and the whole balancing program, all of them will benefit.
So how did you hear about the field day?
Well, I've known Joel Gruber and the Allison Farm for many years now, and I've been to one of the field days in the past. And I found something new last year, and I had to share it with Joel. And he brought a group down to Jack Erisman's farm, I think it was 2 years ago. And Jack is one of my main clients, a big organic farm. And I've been working with Jack now for 9 years. And we've been kind of implementing this systems research I do at the Henry White Farm in Belleville on his farm. And we have some fantastic results. So we wanted to share those with the public. And Joel decided that maybe I ought to come to the field day and talk about it.
So you said you found something surprising in this last year, or you found something in this last year that you wanted to share. What was that thing that you found?
Well, it has to do with sodium, which we don't normally think of that as an essential nutrient. And in fact, it's not in that list of essential nutrients for plants. But animals need it. And we started thinking, well, we're trying to encourage the soil life and the good nematodes and the earthworms and all forms of soil life. And we figured, well, maybe they need the sodium to complete their job and help the soil become healthier. So we started some trials with sodium, Redmond salt to be specific. And that was because Jack Erisman was feeding Redmond salt to his cattle.
So you were able to use what he was using in his cattle and just put it in the field.
And then for my research down at the Henry White Farm, I said, well, I'll just use the same stuff and we'll be comparable then. So we put some trials out, and we saw some fantastic potting in soybeans. Normally in soybeans, you'll get 10 to 14 nodes with 3 to 4 pods per node. And in 30-inch rows, in about 6 plants per foot, you can figure out 1 bushel for every pod that you develop.
So you're actually seeing more soybeans develop on the plants.
Right. And I was just seeing 7 to 8 pods per node on at least 10 nodes. So last year I'm looking at, I have the potential for 70 to 80 bushels. But the drought took care of that.
I was going to say, it's research, but it also is in the real world. So.
Sure. But the county down there averaged only 30 bushels per acre. Our plots averaged 45 bushels. So we still did a lot better.
So now you were saying that, you know, your approach of looking at the entire soil, you know, sort of as an environment and looking at it as an entire system is, you know, you can use it for organic and for conventional. But, you know, looking at just organic for a moment, it does sound like, you know, there's a lot of people who think that organic, yes, may be better for the soil, may be, you know, better for the environment, but it's necessarily less productive. Is that something that you've found to be true?
No. We can bring our soybeans right up to what the conventional farmers are raising. The corn, there's been times on some farms we've out-yielded the conventional corn. And last year, our corn down at the Henry White Farm, I'm sorry, that's not organic. But on Jack Harrisman's farm, we were out-yielding the state average. on his corn production.
And that was with organic corn production?
Yes, yes.
And what do you think accounts for that? I mean, is that is there something that you're doing that no one else is doing, or?
Yes. We are using or have used mycorrhizal fungi to inoculate the roots, and so we get a bigger and better root system. We use kelp meal regularly to encourage more rooting and more flowering, and so those two work really well together.
So you're taking more steps than the average farmer to encourage good or beneficial fungi in the soil?
That's right. And we're trying to balance our micronutrients by looking at both the soil and the previous tissue test. See what that previous crop, actually I used the last two crops. We look at what they're contributing to the next crop. And then in the organic form, our farmers, I look at how much nitrogen we're going to get in our system. And then I use that as my guideline to set the yield goal and then try to balance all the other nutrients with that nitrogen that's going to be available.
Now, you know, I think for someone who's maybe familiar with conventional ag or a farmer, a conventional ag farmer, when you start talking about, you know, something that they're not familiar with, you know, putting kelp meal to encourage fungi or using sodium, you know, a nutrient that they have no experience with, sometimes, you know, I think people tend to look at organic agriculture or new things in ag as sort of wacky or a bit out there. Now, it sounds like you're having real-world results with it. Would you sort of try to tell people that, you know, some of these, what they may think of as wacky approaches, can have real-world payoffs? Or
yes. And when I'm doing my research down at the Henry White Farm, and that's through the Illinois Department of Agriculture, and they support that research, I do the what's called correlations, where I'm looking at how one relates to another, one factor relates to another factor.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at about an 80% correlation factor to hang our hat on any one factor.
Okay, so if the sodium, for example, you'd have to have an 80% correlation for it to think it actually is influencing.
Right, right. So so we have the research to back up any kind of statement we want to make on something like that. Okay, and then in the real world, on Jack Ehrsman's farm, I put together a paper talking about the increase in the soil phosphorus and the soil potassium without using phosphorus and potassium fertilizers. And I'm going to explain this at the field day, how we did this. And I put together the value of that increase.
Like the actual like value is in?
In dollars.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And what Jack has saved over the years. And how his soils are better now, and we are producing more. He had a really good soybean year last year, especially on the three fields that we used some of this Redmond salt.
Now, when you say Redmond salt, is that the kind of stuff that comes in blocks?
No, it comes in the granular form.
Okay, yeah.
The farmers give it to their cattle free choice.
Okay, I was going to say, because I just remember when we had cattle, we just had the blocks, but yeah. It was that the brand was familiar, which is why I was asking. But it was to sort of go on a little bit, I was going to say, you know, and when I said wacky, the reason why I said that is that sometimes that's the sort of the response that, you know, farmers sometimes are very, you know, they only go with what they have had experience to work, and they're kind of hesitant to embrace new things, especially if it sort of challenges what they, you know, their view of what's going on in the ground kind of.
Sure.
So how do you sort of deal with that sort of maybe reluctance to adopt new things, or have you run into that when you're, you know, in your business?
You run into that all the time. So I encourage farmers to, okay, let's start with a 40 or an 80. And just keep good records, and let's just see what happens on your farm. And I did that one guy, and after the first year, he said, okay, you got to do my whole farm. Sometimes you can see the results in 1 year. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years of, you know, working on the balance. It depends how bad you're out of balance and how bad the nematode problems are. So once the first year is a year of discovery for me and the farmer. And it's a steep learning curve. As we do the soil sampling and we do the tissue sampling that correlates with that, and I can show the farmer what's most limiting, what do we need to concentrate on, and as we do that, the crop changes, and he can see that change. It's noticeable. One of the first things you see in the corn is that we don't get as many corn borers. The plants are healthier. The tops don't break out at harvest time. You get some good control because you're encouraging the natural resistance in the plants to fight against insects and diseases. So it becomes visually noticeable to the farmer as he works on this total system.
So I was going to say, before I forget, could you spell, is it Jack Erickson or Arison?
Arisman.
Arisman.
E-R-I-S-M-A-N. And Jack's going to be at the field day also.
Okay. I was going to say, I will be there as well.
Sure. So, we have to get to meet you.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
And I was going to say, I think also my general manager used to be a reporter and news director, and he's wanting to do some ag reporting here coming up. And so he's going to – and he's – you know, I'm kind of the ag guy at the station, not just because that's what I'm more interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to say, I think it's going to be neat for him to come out and see a bunch of – you know, see this kind of research. And for me, it's really – you know, it's really refreshing because I think, you know, a lot of times when you see organic research, it would be nice if more people adopted it. And there's sometimes where – having, you know, you see organic research that would need to be changed or, you know, maybe not directly implementable, I guess,
mm-hmm.
in like a real world setting. And it sounds like that everything you do or most everything you do is directly, you know, able to implement, you know, on a, you know, in the market, in farmers, you know, actual fields,
sure,
you know, and make sense.
Right. We don't want that usual 5-year lag period between research and practical application. I try to do my research that we can take it and use it right away. You know, I try to design my plots so that I can have some real good data, you know, and I don't look for, you know, those marginal stuff. I want stuff that's really going to be positive. So I look for those 90% correlations. And Jack Erisman, bless his heart, he goes right with me. You know, he doesn't ask questions too much. he says, okay, I'll do it. Not on the whole farm, though. He'll do a couple fields.
How long did it take you to get that relationship with him?
I think when I first met Jack, he was a conventional farmer, and he was doing a lot of phosphorus, potassium, fertilization. And so I went packing. But years later, when I started talking to Jack about how he's doing tissue sampling along with soil sampling, that caught his attention. And it turns out he had done, when he was in 4-H, I think it was, he did a study on tissue testing. So he was familiar with the whole concept of tissue testing. So I think from that point on, we hit it off, and he told me, he says, okay, he said, I'm going to give you 10 years on my farm to show me what this system can do. So we're in our ninth year now.
And I'm guessing it sounds like he's pretty happy with it.
Oh, yes. And we're one thing we found right away is some of the out of balance things, and we increased his blue corn yields right away, and that was nice.
Blue corn?
Yeah, blue corn. It goes to the blue corn chip market.
Oh, he raises that too?
Oh, yes. And that's one of his big money makers. When you get, I think it's like $20 a bushel.
Really?
It's a nice...
Holy...
you know, and so when we went from, say, he was doing like 60s, and we started going up to 80 and 85...
I bet that caught his attention pretty quick.
Yes. yes.
Well, I was going to say, my time here in the studio is about up. I have to give it over to my boss here for his next interview program.
Okay.
But thank you very much. I really hope we get to talk some at the field day. I know you're going to be busy.
There'll be time, Scott. I'll make time for it.
Okay. thank you very much for talking to me. It's a really interesting sort of concept. So, yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, and we'll look forward to seeing you and hope we have a good weather and good field day.
Oh, yes.
Well, the presentation will be inside, so we don't have to worry about the weather and that. But when we go outside.
yeah.
okay?
Yeah, sounds good. I will see you there.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.